Welcome to the Future of Money podcast by the Digital Euro Association. In this podcast, you will learn about the disruption of technology in the monetary and financial system. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Future of Money podcast by the Digital Euro Association. My name is Manuel, and I'm your host for today's episode on stablecoins. But before we dive deeper, let me quickly have some words on what the Digital Euro Association is and what we aim to do. The Digital Euro Association, or DEA, is a think tank specializing in the different types of the private and the public digital euro, in particular on central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, stablecoins, crypto assets, and other forms of digital money. Our mission is to contribute to the public and political discourse through research, education, and by providing a platform and a community for policymakers, technologists, economists, and journalists to discuss digital money-related topics. Today, we again provide education about a very trending topic, stablecoins. Stablecoins can be described as the first DLT-ready form of fiat currencies running on distributed ledgers. The biggest and most controversial stablecoin is Tether, a US dollar-denominated token that is backed by all sorts of financial assets. Over the last months, you could read a lot about the transparency of Tether, which we will also focus on later in this podcast. The best-known stablecoin project, however, is most probably still the infamous Diem stablecoin, still often known by its former name Libra or Libra. While Diem has still not come to life, an enormous growth of stablecoins has happened in 2021. The total amount of stablecoins outstanding in the beginning of the year was roughly $30 billion. Now, at the end of November, the amount stands at around $144 billion, an astonishing growth of around 380%. While most stablecoins are used for crypto trading, the enormous growth of decentralized finance applications in 2021 is another reason for the strong growth of the stablecoin sector. Today, we want to talk about what stablecoins are, which different types of stablecoins exist, and which advantages and disadvantages these different types bring. After having described the different stablecoin types, we will focus on the decentralized stablecoins of Celo. How do Celo stablecoins differ from centralized stablecoins? How are they issued and redeemed? And how does the backing of algorithmic stablecoins, which Celo is, work? I'm very much looking forward to this episode and warmly welcome Markus Franke, partner at C-Labs and the economist working on Celo. Celo is a layer one blockchain with stablecoins like the Celo dollar and the Celo euro that are optimized for decentralized finance application on cell phones. So, hi Markus, how are you today?
Hi Manuel, I'm very well. Thanks for hosting this podcast. Thanks for having me. Very, very happy to chat with you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing great. Also looking forward to this podcast and having you as a sponsor of the DEA, obviously.
We are proud members.
Markus, can you quickly run the listeners maybe through your vita and explain why you dropped out of a portfolio manager role at Allianz Global Investors to help C-Labs, the company behind the Celo stablecoins? And what do you do at Celo, and what is the aim of Celo that you are working on?
Yes, happy to talk about that. So I'm an economist. I studied economics. I did my PhD in economics and then worked in different positions in what I today would call traditional finance. So I worked as a researcher. I worked as a portfolio manager. I worked in investment banking and also in asset management. And then around, I think already 5 years ago, a former study mate of mine talked to me that they are starting, actually out of MIT, a project on financial inclusion called Celo. And basically they wanted to use blockchain technology to bank the unbanked. And he told me that while blockchain technology is a super powerful technology, still people only use it mostly for trading, for speculation. However, not many people are using it for day-to-day payments, even though in the world many people are un- or underbanked. And we saw the opportunity that with building a open-sourced and decentralized platform that focuses on mobile, we actually can have more people participating in the financial system. This is how basically Celo started. I joined directly from the start as the economist, thinking about basically all economics decisions on a blockchain. The mission of Celo is to build a more inclusive financial system that creates conditions for prosperity for everyone. And I'm trying to help with economic insights, and especially focused over the last years on the stability protocol, how the stable coins work on Celo, also how other stable coin work on other blockchains. And therefore, I'm happy to talk about this topic.
Okay, great. So the aim is financial inclusion by issuing stable coins on the Celo blockchain. So could you maybe tell me how you actually want to do this? And can you quickly run us through what in the beginning a stablecoin actually is, and especially what the Celo stablecoin is?
Yes, happy to talk about that. As the name suggests, a stablecoin is hopefully more stable than other crypto assets. First and foremost, stablecoins came into existence because many crypto assets were highly volatile, especially Bitcoin in the beginning, but now today all other currencies, if they are not stable, you can see that they have periods where they have extreme high volatilities. You can see Bitcoin at the money implied volatilities around 250% for different maturities. So you can actually see with these high volatilities, it's probably hard to use these currencies as especially for payments, as a medium of exchange, and therefore stablecoins came into existence. Stablecoins try to follow basically typically some other asset, and mostly this other asset is fiat. And also mostly in the case of stablecoins, the fiat currency they are following is the US dollar. So with USDT, USDC, BUSD, DAI, and so on, you see many different stablecoins that are following or trying to follow the value of the US dollar. On Celo, there's also a stability protocol. In general, Celo is a layer one. Anything can live on top of Celo. It's a proof of stake network. Also on Celo, there is a stability protocol. The name of this stability protocol is Mento, and Mento basically issues different stable currencies on top of Celo. The first one that came into existence was the Celo dollar, that is following the value of the US dollar. And then shortly after, the Celo community launched the Celo euro. Now we are working on a Celo real following the Brazilian real, and also on other currencies, like for example the Philippine peso. All currencies where for countries where people have maybe access to a smartphone, but maybe less people have access to either stable currency or access to traditional financial system, and therefore can use these stable coins for payments, for remittances, for saving, for lending and borrowing, for micro work. So basically any also DeFi application you can imagine can basically take place on top of Celo. The nice thing about the Celo stablecoins, and we probably later on talk more about the different features of Celo stablecoins, but the nice thing is because the Celo blockchain has a very fast block time of 5 seconds, stablecoin transactions settle within 5 seconds. Also, because the blockchain is very scalable, the gas fees are also very low. So you can send a Celo dollar for less than 0.001 cents in fees. And the nice thing is, if I send to you a Celo dollar or a Celo euro today, I can also pay for gas in Celo dollar or Celo euro. I don't need a different currency to pay for the transaction costs. And I think this is a very important differentiator when it comes to stablecoins on other blockchain, where you sometimes maybe also need a different currency for gas fees.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So to summarize things up, so basically it's a token that is issued on the Celo blockchain, just like any other stablecoin that we think of, let's say Tether or USDC, that is also issued, let's say, on Ethereum. But you have your own blockchain, and you can also pay the gas fees to transact actually in the same currency, which is the Celo euro, the Celo dollar here. But how does the Celo stablecoin actually differ from other potentially most known stablecoins such as Tether? So I think there are very different ways of how to design such a stablecoin. Could you quickly run us through the different design possibilities of a stablecoin and how Celo is actually designed?
Yeah, happy to talk about that, because in the beginning when we started to work on the Celo stablecoins, we looked also at all these other different stablecoins out there. You already mentioned Tether. I think I mentioned USDC. Those are two examples of, I would say, the most common type of stablecoin, which are fiat-backed stablecoins. Fiat-backed stablecoins, as the name suggests, are typically backed by bank deposits or other financial assets, and therefore have a very centralized element to it. It's basically a bank credit as collateral. With this more, I would say, more centralized approach, it could be that they are also a bit less transparent, because sometimes it's hard for users to evaluate the value of the bank credit, to evaluate the counterparty risk, to evaluate the liquidity risk. But on the other hand, it's a very direct stability mechanism. It's very easy, basically, to explain. A fiat-backed stablecoin is stable because it should hold collateral, and therefore is linked. The value is linked to the underlying. The biggest risks of these stablecoins are already mentioned. These are counterparty risk, liquidity risk of the collateral or credit risk of the bank. But there's also, similar to any other stablecoin out there, a demand risk if demand jumps into positive or negative terrain. Because these stablecoins are less transparent and have a centralized element to it, there was basically the invention of crypto collateralized stablecoins, like, for example, DAI on Ethereum. DAI is collateralized by Ethereum or ETH. Therefore, the whole collateral lives on chain, which makes the governance of this type of stablecoin more decentralized, and it makes the stablecoin also more transparent. However, the major risk here is, of course, the crypto collateral, since the collateral is volatile. And therefore, these stablecoins typically have to work with over-collateralization to prevent a DPEG. In the case of DAI, it's also interesting that there's no direct link between the supply and demand. It's a bit indirect, because the supply of the stablecoin depends on how many people are willing to lock up the collateral into a collateralized debt position and therefore create DAI into existence. Because of this, I would say, missing direct link, there was many different coins that worked on basically seniority share type of stability mechanism. In a seniority share stability mechanism, there's typically a seniority coin that takes up the volatility of the stablecoin. And I think the most prominent example for this was, for example, Basecoin or Basis. They launched, or they haven't really launched. They raised a huge financing round, but at some point ran into so many problems that they basically skipped the development. The interesting thing about these about Basecoin, for example, was that they tried to do expansions and contractions of the stablecoin via auctions. A big problem with auctions, or two big problems with auctions, is that you basically are not able to expand constantly or contract constantly because auctions take time. And the second thing is that you to determine the amount of stablecoin you're auctioning off, you have to make an assumption about the demand function of that stablecoin. Basically, how many stablecoins do I have to sell to bring the price back to the peg? And this assumption is extremely difficult. And therefore, a newer generation of stablecoins can be called algorithmic stablecoins. And they are typically a hybrid between these crypto collateralized stablecoins and these seigniorage share stablecoins. So the Celo stablecoins, the Celo Euro, the Celo Dollar, in future also the Celo Brazilian Real, are these algorithmic type of stablecoins where you have the constant opportunity to expand or contract the amount of stablecoin that is outstanding, basically the supply of stablecoin, depending on demand for this stablecoin. With this, the stablecoin is similar to crypto collateralized mechanisms, also very decentralized, since this expansion and contraction is based on smart contracts, and therefore it's very transparent. But in addition to the seigniorage share stablecoins, these stablecoins also have a reserve that is underpinning this expansion and contraction mechanism. And this reserve is also purely based on crypto. So the major risks for these last three types of stablecoins, the crypto collateralized, the seigniorage share, and the algorithmic stablecoins, are crypto volatility and again demand risk. And I think demand risk, when we later maybe also talk about the Celo Alliance for Prosperity, is something I will also again mention, basically creating demand for stablecoin as the best stability mechanism out there.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So the idea of these decentralized stablecoins that are not issued by a central institution is basically using crypto and over collateralize the, let's say, loan that is granted out, because every time new stablecoins are issued, they basically are issued against the collateral, which are cryptocurrencies, and you over collateralize it, right? How does the Celo reserve look like? Which coins do you use, and how does the over collateralization work there?
Yeah, happy to talk about that. So basically, we have to have this reserve in place to basically support this expansion and contraction mechanism. Basically, expansions are easy. You can print new stablecoin or mint new stablecoin into existence against the reserve at any time. For contractions, you need the reserve as collateral to basically be able to buy back stablecoin if there is less demand. As you already mentioned, all these protocols then work typically with an over-collateralization to be able to basically handle the crypto volatility. And there are two types of reserves in the Celo world. The current reserve, and I also would like to talk a bit about the future reserve. In the current reserve, the major part of the reserve is the Celo native asset, which is also the governance token that allows you to take part in on-chain governance, in electing validators in the proof of stake network, and to also take part in on-chain governance for important decisions. For example, which should be the next currency the Celo protocol issues. This token is also part of the reserve. In the reserve, we also have Bitcoin, we have ETH, there's also some DAI in the reserve, and there are already today tokenized carbon credits. These tokenized carbon credits are interesting because this is basically one of the efforts we do to create a green, I would call it green or sustainable system. These tokenized carbon credits are also interesting because we are actually planning to have much more nature-backed assets in the reserve in future. We would also see tokenized trees, tokenized clean water, tokenized clean air, all these assets that we also would like to see more in the environment.
And how does the issuance and redemption of these stablecoins then work? Do you have to buy the tokens with some funds, or do depositors deposit these funds into a reserve? And also, I mean, then how is the carbon credit reserve then used? Is it bought later on, or is it also deposited in the reserve, or how does it work?
Yeah? Great questions. Happy to talk about it more. So basically, the Mentor stability mechanism always allows you to exchange, for example, one Celo dollar for one US dollar worth of collateral, in this case, worth of Celo. So you can at any point in time engage in this on-chain mechanism and either exchange one Celo dollar for one US dollar worth of Celo, or one Celo euro for 1 euro worth of Celo. And with this, you can also mint stablecoins into existence. Basically, if you use Celo, the governance asset, you can approach this on-chain mechanism at any point in time and then mint new stablecoins into existence using the Celo. Then the reserve also rebalances basically against the other reserve currencies. So basically, it keeps part of the Celo, but it also buys ETH and Bitcoin and DAI and also these tokenized carbon credit. This mechanism also basically allows you to contract the amount of stablecoin outstanding. So basically, you can also always send one Celo dollar or one Celo euro back to the reserve and get collateral in form of Celo back. Always one to one. And with this constant mechanism, it basically allows you to also do arbitrage if you see a centralized exchange where Celo dollars or Celo euros trade away from a dollar. So for example, if on KuCoin, the Celo dollar or the Celo euro is not trading at $1, but for $1.05, because there's maybe more demand for Celo dollar, you should actually buy Celo in the same instance, exchange Celo for Celo dollar, and you basically get Celo dollar for one US dollar worth of Celo, and then sell it for $1.05 on KuCoin. And you can do all of this in one block, and depending on the speed of this centralized exchange, and therefore benefit from arbitrage gains if at any point the Celo dollar or the Celo euro trades away from the pack. And in contrast to, for example, auctions, this arbitrage mechanism actually is running constantly. Mm-hmm. Now, you also mentioned basically then the tokenized carbon credits in this reserve. So basically, we imagine in the future that this reserve will hold even more tokenized nature-backed assets. Mm-hmm. So maybe first about the reason for this, why we would like to see this and why we would like to work with the Celo community to actually build this. This idea actually goes back to an idea that is described in the book Sacred Economics by Charles Eisenstein. Charles is also an advisor of the Celo Foundation. And in this book, he writes about nature-backed currencies. Basically, everything that backs currencies, people tend to make more of. So for example, when gold backed the dollar, people tried to mint gold because it's like printing money. And when even earlier cattle or animals backed currencies, people tried to farm animals because it's again like printing money. So if we would be with this technology, if it would be possible to back currencies with nature, people actually would try to plant more trees or try to save the environment, because again, it's like printing money. And therefore, with a monetary system like this, you actually set the right incentives that like trees or clean water or clean air actually have a higher value, and basically the monetary system gives or derives a value for these assets. So the Cello Foundation currently already today in form of the Climate Collective gives a lot of grants to different projects that want to tokenize a tree or want to tokenize other nature assets so that these can also make their way into the Cello Reserve, and so that we basically not only have at some point tokenized carbon credits in the reserve, but also tokenized other nature-backed assets in the reserve.
That is very interesting. I think it's a very unique approach. I've never heard of it before. Before I heard of Cello, obviously. so that really sounds like a sustainability-focused project here, and especially like environmental sustainability here. So what also came up to my mind is that people often, think of the ecological problems of cryptocurrencies, because they immediately think about Bitcoin and the proof of work mechanism that is behind the consensus mechanism of Bitcoin and most cryptocurrencies actually. So could you maybe share some more words on how you come up with the with the consensus in your protocol, and how environmental friendly and sustainable this process is actually?
Yeah, happy to chat more about this. And you already mentioned most proof of work or most blockchains, large blockchains, for example, the Bitcoin, are based on a proof of work type of consensus. And proof of work means machines have to carry out some work. This work, the longer the blockchain exists, or the more expensive it is to safeguard the blockchain, the more energy basically it needs, because the harder this work actually gets. And of course, there are different initiatives how we could use sustainable sources of energy for securing the Bitcoin blockchain. However, we could also use this sustainable energy for other things. And therefore, proof of stake came into existence and also entered the discussion as being more sustainable, because as a consensus mechanism, it needs much less energy. So basically the first layer where Cello is more sustainable is that it uses a proof of stake consensus mechanism. Similar to some other proof of stake consensus mechanisms out there, Cello also uses this Byzantine fault tolerance mechanism. And in Cello, you have validators that are validating transactions. Cello token holders or Cello native asset holders can take part in governance by deciding on important, for example, upgrades on the blockchain, but also electing the validators on the Cello blockchain. So with proof of stake, Cello is already a bit more sustainable. However, the Cello community also decided that a part of the block rewards is also going into a carbon offset. This today is done together with a project called Wren. Wren is offsetting carbon based on Cello block rewards, or financed by Cello block rewards. So you could basically say with every new block they plant trees, which is nice, which is also something which is very important for the Cello community, because actually today the Cello blockchain is even carbon negative with this carbon offset that is happening. And then a third layer is basically all these ideas I already mentioned around nature-backed assets that we as a Cello community want to explore more. So this initiative found its place in on a website that is called climatecollective.org. And in the Climate Collective, you see many different protocols that are working on tokenized carbon credit, tokenized trees, tokenized clean air, clean water, and so on. These things I've already mentioned. And we've started with tokenized carbon credit in the reserve because there is already a liquid carbon credit market out there. There are already databases that can be the base for tokens, for example, the Vera database, where projects can actually certify their carbon credits. However, we also know this is only a first step. Carbon credits are interesting, but it would be even more interesting if we could actually tokenize the whole tree. It would be even more interesting if we, for example, could tokenize a carbon removal from the atmosphere, mm-hmm. because with the reserve as a stability mechanism that basically has to expand when there's more demand for stable coins, this reserve or more demand for stable coins when the reserve would have a certain percentage going into these tokenized carbon credits and tokenized nature-backed assets, the reserve could actually act as a large carbon sink. Because in the end, as there's more demand for stable coins, also the demand for these assets as reserve assets grows.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And are these developments also part of the already mentioned Celo Alliance? And you also talk about the Celo community here. Is this the Celo Alliance or what is behind the Celo Alliance?
So these projects are also in part of the Celo Alliance, but the alliance is even broader. In the Celo Alliance for Prosperity, there are, I think now, 150 mission-aligned organizations that want to use Celo technology for their use cases, for their users. So in this Alliance for Prosperity, you find projects from many different backgrounds. So you find, for example, charity organizations like the Red Cross, Mercy Corps, the Grameen Foundation, GiveDirectly. And the Grameen Foundation is maybe a nice example because together with the Grameen Foundation, we did a project on the Philippines where they used Celo dollars as COVID relief payments for women on the Philippines who pre-COVID could support their families. And because of COVID, we were able to help them with a basically relief payment program, which was extremely nice. In this Alliance for Prosperity, there are also interesting projects like Impact Market. Impact Market is the largest universal basic income project in the world, already active in, I think, 130 communities around the world, basically providing universal basic income for very poor communities around the world and therefore helping ecosystems in these areas to grow. But we also have traditional projects and companies in this alliance, for example, Deutsche Telekom, that has a lot of mobile users and would be interested in opening their users this mobile-first blockchain for example, remittances. Or Opera, the browser, integrates Celo currencies in the browser as basically in integrated stable coins. Mm-hmm. Also, payment transmitters like PayU and First are part of the alliance that enable merchants to accept Celo currencies. So basically, this Alliance for Prosperity is a set of many, many mission-aligned organizations that want to use Celo technology in their use case. And that is the nice thing about being fully permissionless, being fully open source. Everyone can be a part in this alliance. And what we then typically do with the rest of the alliance, we have a shared memorandum of understanding what could be a nice project if you are a large mobile carrier or if you are a large charity organization, or even if you're a bank, what could be a nice project that helps with financial inclusion, that helps with our sustainability goals to drive the use of the Celo blockchain.
So do I understand it correctly that Celo or C-Labs is not necessarily working on use cases themselves or yourself, but rather the community in the Celo Alliance proposes different use cases or uses the Celo stablecoins in the different types of use cases that you already described. So that you basically only provide the infrastructure and the token with which you can then actually transact or do transactions, but don't really work on specific use cases yourself, right?
Exactly. This is a good, very good description. So Celo is the layer one blockchain. The Alliance for Prosperity are like all these projects that want to bring this blockchain to users all around the world. We today already have builders in more than 130 countries around the world that build projects on top of Celo. And then C-Labs is just one organization within the Alliance for Prosperity that also works on Celo technology to making it more accessible, to making it better, faster, and so on. Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, maybe as the last question here, could you share with us maybe some insights on the most promising projects that Celo was already been used? So you already mentioned telecom, for example, and the mobile first feature. I guess you can send Celo stablecoins directly to a mobile phone number, which sounds very, very impressive and interesting, because then you don't necessarily need a wallet before being able to receive the tokens, right? So maybe that use case or different types of use case that you can think of, which are the most interesting for our listeners here.
Yeah, exactly. This mobile first feature is super interesting, that basically you can find other users of the blockchain via their phone number. And therefore, it's if I know your phone number, I today can send you a Celo dollar or a Celo euro. It arrives within 5 seconds. The fees are super low. So having this feature is, for example, very interesting for Deutsche Telekom, because Deutsche Telekom has 242 million mobile users, is, I think, the largest mobile carrier with T-Mobile, have, for example, a lot of users in very interesting areas like the US and Mexico, where people have to send a lot of remittances. So we actually think about this technology being a perfect remittances being a perfect use case for this technology. And this is, I think, very, very exciting. But having a feature like this link to the phone number and therefore having a identity solution that is, in this case, linked to the phone number, enables these interesting things like, for example, a universal basic income. And therefore also this impact market project excites me a lot, because this is maybe the first time where you actually can see universal basic incomes being distributed in many, many areas around the world, helping people to basically get a basic income, but in the second step then also to save, maybe at some point to invest or to lend and borrow, and therefore basically creating an ecosystem around Celo maybe increases their like well-being, their prosperity.
I mean, that's stuff for another episode, I would say. It's super interesting. I'd love to dig deeper into this topic. Summarizing, I think what is very impressive to me is that established players, for example, like Telekom, already touch base with these different solutions and try to come up with new solutions to work on new problems or on problems that really need to be solved, like financial inclusion. And especially impressive to me is that they also touch like a decentralized stablecoin that is backed by cryptocurrency. So it's not the most intuitive and the most simple approach, I would say. But I mean, once people understand that a decentralized stablecoin provides more transparency than, centralized stablecoins, and that also this automated mechanism can bring up a lot of advantages that maybe other, centralized stablecoins do not have, they might realize that this is a very potentially, exciting way of designing a stablecoin. Markus, thank you so much for your time and for your insights. It was a real pleasure talking to you. And I would say let's continue this conversation also about the interesting use cases in the future in another episode, right?
Thank you. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And yeah, happy to share more. We are, as I said, a proud member of the DEA organization. So also there, always happy. If there are any questions, feel free to reach out.
That's for sure. We will share your contact. And thanks again for tuning in and for your time, Markus. And talk to you soon.
Talk soon. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.